Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Jizo An Zen Community's Dharma Talks. We are happy to make these recordings available to you. Please consider making a one-time or recurring donation via the link on our webpage found under Become a Member. We thank you wholeheartedly. Gassho.
So Master Linji Yixuan is also known in the West as Rinzai. He was born sometime between 810 and 815 AD during the Tang Dynasty in China. When he was young, he left his family and he traveled north to study with Zen patriarch Wang Bo. This was a turbulent time for Buddhism in China. There was political instability and the government repressed Buddhism. In 845, all monks were ordered to disrobe and return to lay life. Many temples and artifacts were destroyed, especially in the cities. Outlying areas were less affected. So Huang Bo sent Linji to study briefly with the reclusive monk Deyu. Linji then returned to Huang Bo's temple. As a young monk, Linji was a diligent student and gained an extensive knowledge of the sutras, commentaries, and monastic precepts. Linji later had his own temple in Zhengzhou. The name Linji came from the name of the mountain on which he lived and taught. In about 850, a 40-something Linji left on a pilgrimage. Not a lot is known of this pilgrimage, but it's possible that he visited Bodhidharma's memorial tower in Henan. In about 851, he settled in Zhengzhou for about 10 years. In 864, he left Linji Temple and traveled to a temple in Weifu at the invitation of a high-ranking lord. He stayed at this temple until his death in February of 867. According to historical records, he was not ill and he died suddenly. He finished speaking with a disciple, adjusted his robes, sat erect, and quietly passed away. Linji did not leave a large body of notable disciples, and he did not leave a written record of his teachings. His students compiled and passed on his teachings in various sources, the most famous of which is the Record of Linji. The standard edition was completed about 250 years after his death. Now, I stated before that Linji had an extensive knowledge of Buddhist teachings. And while studying, he noticed that many of the monks he studied with, although they were, you know, diligent students, did not have a true understanding of the teachings. So he thought that they wanted to increase their knowledge in order to achieve fame or important positions in the temple, not to achieve transformation. This caused Linji to let go of his studies and pursue true Zen practice. Linji said of the teachings, "When I realized that they were only remedies to help the world and displays of opinion, I threw them all away, and searching for the way, I practiced meditation." An important point to understand here is that Linji did not intend to say that we should not study the Buddhist canons, but we're wasting our time if all we do is study. Thich Nhat Hanh tells us that the teachings are supporting conditions to manifest our own wisdom. Linji felt that human beings need to realize their true nature and live as ordinary people. Linji referred to himself not as a Zen master, but as a good spiritual friend, someone who could help others on the path. Linji felt that when we accumulate too much knowledge without understanding, this knowledge can block our minds. The purpose of Linji's work is to help us stop all the seeking and simply to come back to ourselves in the present moment. Linji is considered to be the father of the Rinzai school of Zen. Linji was known for his confrontational methods, to include the use of the katsu shout, which was meant to cut through discursive thinking, to jolt the student out of concepts and into direct awareness. He was known to use the katsu in response to questions posed during koan study to force his students to answer from a place of direct experience rather than logic. Linji also used physical blows to jolt students out of intellectual thought and into immediate present moment awareness. He used koans to end the dualistic thinking of students and to provoke sudden realization. Linji's teachings were considered radical and iconoclastic in his time. He used extreme language to shock his students. One of his most famous teachings is "Kill the Buddha if you meet him on the road." Linji was not advocating for literal violence, but used this teaching as a metaphor for letting go of preconceived ideas and enabling a personal experience of reality. The Buddha represents fixed ideas and mental images that can be an obstacle to true understanding. Linji was influenced by Huang Bo, who said that to conceive of a Buddha is to be obstructed by that Buddha. Linji put forth a radical call to abandon dependence on scriptures and teachers in favor of direct experience and personal inquiry, focusing on the present moment rather than pursuing an ideal version of oneself. Contemporary Zen master Suzuki Roshi referenced this teaching in Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. He said, "Zen masters will say, 'Kill the Buddha,' if the Buddha exists somewhere else. Kill the Buddha, because you should resume your own Buddha nature." So he's saying that if we encounter a Buddha separate from ourselves, we are deluded. About 400 years after Linji, Dogen Zenji, the father of the Soto school of Zen, echoed Linji's instruction to students to rely on their own inner wisdom when he said, "Cease from practice based on intellectual understanding, pursuing words, and following after speech, and learn the backward step that turns your light inward to illuminate yourself." Dogen was saying that this inward focus allows the body and mind to drop off and reveals one's true original face, which refers to one's true radiant and pre-existing nature. Alan Watts referenced Linji in 1958 in his essay "Beat Zen, Square Zen, and Zen." He often quoted Linji to explain that the law of Buddha has no place for elaborate activity or effort. He argued that enlightenment is not a goal to be attained through practice, but a realization of one's own nature, which is already present. Linji talked about yellow leaves in the empty fist to entice unweaned children. He was talking about holding up an empty fist, saying there is something inside it, to get the attention of crying children. Sometimes the fist is holding golden leaves to give the impression that something of gold is held inside. When the child realizes the fist is empty, they stop chasing, thus ending their desire. Watts explained that the teaching is designed to make the student realize there is nothing to grasp and that they already possess the reality they are seeking. When interpreting Linji, Watts described great doubt, where a student's intellectual and self-conscious way of thinking is the final desperate hang-up that, when thoroughly experienced and dropped, allows for the realization that there is no self that needs saving and no answer to be found. Watts saw Linji's teachings as a way to wake up from a bad dream of fixed ideas and to stop trying to capture reality. Linji did not want his students to run around seeking something outside, because dependency only perpetuates delusion and prevents direct realization of the mind's true nature. Linji instructed followers to follow the way by neither knowing nor not knowing, rejecting intellectual grasping. Central to this teaching is his concept of the true man without rank, described by Linji as an innate, luminous self that transcends all hierarchies and distinctions. In a key discourse, he proclaimed, "On your lump of red flesh is a true man without rank who is always going in and out of the face of every one of you. Those who have not yet confirmed this, look, look." He's referring to the pure, unconditioned, and authentic self that exists beyond social roles or titles or mental concepts. It represents inherent enlightened nature, as Lindsay calls it, the solitary brightness that constantly operates through our senses, or the portals of the face. It is the ordinary, unconditioned nature that is present before thoughts or distinctions arise. It is not a person, a power or status, or but rather a way of being that is free from social conditioning, attachments, or ego identifications. It's not something to be acquired, achieved, or developed through religious practice. It is already present within us. This true person is what listens to the Dharma and is not swayed by external circumstances. It is not just about humility, but a direct recognition of one's own reality without needing to adopt a rank to justify one's existence. This concept has also been translated as the businessless person. Rather than chasing extraordinary experiences, the businessless person finds that true liberation is found in simple tasks. Linji says, "Monks, what are you looking for? In the present moment, you are standing before me, listening to the Dharma. It is luminous and clear. You do not need to depend on anything, and since you lack nothing, you have nothing to search for. As I see it, there isn't so much to do. Just be ordinary. Put on your robes, eat your food, and pass the time doing nothing." Now, Thich Nhat Hanh says that this does not mean being lazy. It means having total control over one's circumstances and not being a victim of or carried away by thoughts, emotions, or social demands. According to Master Linji, the businessless person is someone who doesn't run after enlightenment or grasp at anything, even if that thing is the Buddha. This person has simply stopped. She is no longer caught by anything, even theories or teachings. The businessless person is the true person inside each one of us. This is the essential teaching of Master Linji. When we learn to stop and be truly alive in the present moment, we are in touch with what's going on within and around us. We aren't carried away by the past, the future, our thinking, ideas, emotions, and projects. The person who has nothing to do is sovereign over herself. She doesn't need to put on airs or leave any trace behind. The true person is an active participant, engaged in her environment while remaining unoppressed by it. The true person doesn't become a victim of sadness, happiness, love, or hate. This is what Master Linji means by be sovereign wherever you are and use that place as your seat of awakening. Thich Nhat Hanh says that we should write down these 8 words and hang them where we will see them. Wherever you are your true person. He wants us to remember that wherever we go, we can be the master of our situation. We can realize Linji's mysterious principle of grasp and use, but never name. This instruction means you should directly experience and utilize your true nature, but as soon as you name or conceptualize it, you've lost it. The principle is often called mysterious because it is a direct pointer to reality that by its very nature cannot be captured by thought or language. When we are being ordinary and acting without egoic attachment, we are expressing wisdom by leaving behind objective views to reveal direct present moment experience. In addition to the mysterious principle, Linji emphasized faith. He felt that relying on methods and religious practices was to generate karma, keeping one bound to the realm of birth and death. He said, "Just have faith in this thing that is operating in you right now. Outside of it, nothing else exists." He did not mean blind acceptance. He was talking about faith in our inherent Buddha nature as the foundation for enlightenment. He wanted his students to recognize this faith as arising from their own nature, saying, "Followers of the way, right now you are studying the path. Have faith in yourselves as endowed with Buddha nature. Do not be deceived by others into separating yourself from it." Linji's teachings on faith emphasize realization through innate faith and the non-action of being ordinary. Linji teaches self-trust in one's own enlightened essence. He argued that the lack of confidence results in frantic living and endless wandering, whereas cultivating this internal trust allows one to live with total freedom. In the Record of Linji, he expounds on right view. For Linji, right view is not a set of beliefs or a philosophical doctrine, but a direct insight into reality that liberates one from the cycle of birth and death. He emphasized that the greatest obstacle to right view is the ceaseless seeking mind. He taught that students often look outside themselves for Buddha or enlightenment, which only leads to further bewilderment. To achieve right view, one must simply stop searching and have total faith in the true man of no rank within. Right view is found in the most mundane activities, eating when hungry, sleeping when tired, and relieving oneself, just being ordinary. And to maintain right view, Linji advocated for a radical detachment from all external authorities and internal concepts, as we discussed in his Kill the Buddha teaching. While right view involves letting go of fixed concepts, Linji also stated that a true monk must be able to distinguish Buddha from Mara, or enlightenment from delusion, and true from false in their daily life, and to use the eye of wisdom to see things as they really are, without being fooled by appearances. So once you attain right view, birth and death can no longer touch you. You become sovereign in any situation, meaning circumstances cannot change or control you. You live naturally without putting on airs or chasing after spiritual rewards. So Linji was able to express his practice in ordinary everyday activities, as illustrated in this famous exchange. When Linji was planting pine trees in the community of Huangbo, Huangbo asked, "What's the good of planting so many trees in the deep mountains? First, I want to make a natural setting for the main gate. Second, I want to make a landmark for later generations," said Linji, thumping the ground with his hoe 3 times. "Be that as it may, you've already tasted 30 blows of my stick," replied Huangbo. Again, Linji thumped the ground with his hoe 3 times and breathed out a great breath. "Under you, my line will flourish throughout the world," said Huangbo. So when Huangbo threatens Linji with 30 blows, he's trying to shatter conceptual thinking. Although Linji gave a very acceptable answer of beautifying the scenery and benefiting future generations, Huangbo is illustrating that realization can't be found in words or reason, no matter how noble. In the Rinzai school, hitting a student was sometimes interpreted as an act of great compassion. Huangbo may have referenced the blows as a means to jolt Linji out of any ego that was manifested in his answer. Linji showed that he was not attached to Huangbo's praise or criticism because he did not respond with an argument. He just struck the ground with his hoe. He was not caught up in his feelings about Huangbo's response. He was staying in the present moment by striking the ground and not quarreling with Huangbo. He did not fall into the dualistic thinking of right and wrong. He stayed connected to the immediacy of the moment. He displayed confidence, and he showed Huangbo that he was a man, a true man of no rank, who could respond in an ordinary and non-pretentious manner without leaving a trace. He was not seeking approval or validation from Huangbo. He did not want a reward for his good deed. The great breath or sigh that Linji let out wasn't a sign of annoyance or exasperation or being tired. He was just signaling that the matter was settled and there was nothing left to say. Linji's reaction illustrated to Huangbo that Linji was a mature practitioner. He wasn't just planting trees, he was embodying the path of practice. Huangbo was showing appreciation for Linji's sincerity. So in conclusion, Linji offered a response of radical simplicity to the elaborate explanations and well-established forms, teachings, and rituals of that period of Zen Buddhism. Although the teachings are skillful means that help relieve suffering, he repeatedly tells us not to rely on words, teachers, rituals, or even the teachings of the Buddha himself as substitutes for realization or the direct experience of our true nature. He wasn't trying to teach us something new. He just wanted to be able to see the true person in all of us and to experience the freedom that realization brings.